I'm excited this evening. I'm excited to share with y'all. This is different being in this classroom. This is good. So when I was trying to think through what I wanted to share with y'all for the next 4 weeks, I really didn't put a lot of thought in it, which isn't probably what you want to hear the guy up front to say. But to be honest, it started back in this past January. I guess not last January, the January 2018. I started school again, and one of my professors wrote a book called Praying the Bible. And one of the best things for my Christian walk, at least this past year, but certainly I think almost in my life, has been the practice of every day praying one of the Psalms and walking through the Psalter in that way. Before that, I never read the Psalms. They were always the weird part of the Bible for me. I didn't really understand. It was like, it's poetry. I didn't like poetry. Now I like poetry. And it just was never part of my life. And I realize now the riches that I missed by avoiding the Psalter. And so just over the year, praying through the Psalms and going through the Psalter a time or two, it was recently. I had a lot of things. I was thinking about, I teach the 5th and 6th grade on Sunday mornings. I teach the high schoolers, and I was doing chapel this past week. And I had a bunch of other things that were bouncing around and kind of had some directions on. And I knew I was going to be coming here to share with you all, and it's like, it'll come. It'll come. It always comes. You figure something out. And I was spending time praying in the Psalms, and it was the peace that I felt praying through a number of these that I wanted to share with you over the next couple weeks. And so then the question was where to start, and I'd been praying through. I was in Psalm 23 and going from there, and I had this idea I was going to teach on what I was calling the Shepherd's Song. So some of the Psalms that come out of Psalm 23 and just kind of carry that tone of comfort. I was like, I'm not going to start with Psalm 23. Everyone knows Psalm 23. Why would we start with that one? And then I read it again, and I was like, what is wrong with you? That is just the best. And even tonight as we're singing these songs, every one of them, I feel like the back tone of all of them is the beauty of this psalm. And not to spoil too much, we'll get to it. But just as I was even thinking about it in my head and thinking about the psalm and as we sang the songs, realizing how much this scene, I think, pours out into the rest of our lives. So I decided we're going to start with Psalm 23 tonight. And not assuming that I can teach you something about it, but I think even more to refresh ourselves with something old. I think we live in such a faddish culture that is always moving to the next thing, and so Psalm 23 is one of those psalms that we all know by heart, and as soon as I start reading, you'll want to quote it with me, probably in I always quote it in King James Version. But it'll come to your mind. But we always skip past it because we know it, just like John 3:16, just like all the passages in Romans we know. We don't think about it because we've already memorized them. And so my hope tonight, as we spend some time in this psalm, is that you will be refreshed by something old, something that you've probably known most of your lives. And so with that, let's read Psalm 23. If you haven't opened there already, I'll give you a second to do so. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for the way that the snow turned to rain and has made it possible for us to be here tonight. I know even this afternoon, just uncertainty and not knowing and truly hating to cancel again. Lord, I thank you that we can be here. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this psalm that is, I pray and trust, so deeply etched in all of our hearts. And tonight, Lord, as we spend time soaking in the truth that you are our shepherd, May we be refreshed. May our souls be restored by who you are. And that we may truly understand that you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. Father, we love you. We ask your Spirit to teach us tonight, and that you would just fill this place with your presence. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, David starts this psalm in verse 1 with the metaphor that carries throughout the rest of it. The simple metaphor, the Lord is my shepherd. And what's unspoken with this metaphor is that if the Lord is our shepherd, then we are sheep, right? Now, this is probably far from a compliment. Sheep are not the best and brightest of animals, right? We've all heard the talks about sheep and how they need guided and need a shepherd, and they're smelly and they're kind of dirty and they're goofy and aren't very good at fighting against anything and fall into rivers and all that kind of good stuff. And that's probably the best place to start, right? Is to be reminded just where we stand before our shepherd, that we sometimes painfully dull sheep, right? And what a joy it is that we have a shepherd that loves us in this way. And as we move on, we see that the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And I know when I was a kid, that phrase always confused me. I was like, wait, I don't want the Lord as my shepherd? But it doesn't mean that at all. It means that we have everything that we could need from the Lord. And I think the other beauty of this statement is the Lord is my shepherd, right? The Lord is not the general shepherd of the flocks at large, and he's somewhere over there, and you're not really sure what's going on, but the Lord is my shepherd, and your shepherd, and your shepherd. He is our intimate, personal, walking with us. And so his opening phrase, which I think probably deserves its own series of sermons, carries so much in it. The Lord is our personal, with us, knows us shepherd. He knows our tendencies, our habits, our faults, because he walks alongside us. He's not somewhere in a hill far, far away. He is right next to us, walking alongside of us. And this truth that we shall not want because our shepherd is with us, I think we'll come to better understand as we work our way through this psalm. And so we'll come back to that at the end. Because we can know, right? We can know that the Lord is our shepherd and we have nothing that we could need. But there's a difference between knowing and knowing. Right? There's a difference between knowing it in your head and knowing it with your life. And so as we move, we come back to that beginning and see that truth again. But what are the perks? What are the perks of having this shepherd, having this good shepherd that is our shepherd? Well, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. And too often when we read this verse, or this passage, excuse me, it's in times of trouble. And that's a great time to read it. It's a time of trouble, and it's when we feel ourselves to be in the valley of the shadow of death. But I think when we only read it in the hard times, we miss out on the beauty of it in the good times. And truly, and it says, makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Because often we take the green pastures for granted, don't we? We don't like green pastures. We want to trade the green pastures in for a Ferrari and a long vacation because we're not content with the goodness and the ordinary nourishment that's all around us at all times. And that is the pasture that the Lord forces us to lie down in. I think sometimes as he's pushing us down with this strong arm, he might break our legs if he has to. But he's going to make sure that we find our nourishment in those green pastures. And it's this slow remembrance, this ability to just rest in the nourishment of God, the everyday, ordinary nourishment of God that goes throughout our lives, that we miss too often. We get so caught up as sheep trying to go out, find our own way, or do whatever we might, look for better pastures, we're always looking for greener pastures, and we forget that if we are the Lord's sheep, that we are in good green pastures. And he is making us. But there's a duality to what the Lord does for us as our shepherd. He doesn't just force us to lie down in green pastures. He also leads us beside still waters. And this is one of those, I don't know, I don't know that enough people are good at taking a long walk by a river, right? But it's sort of this idea, as he's walking with us, that there's this water that can nourish us. There's nothing dangerous in the sound of walking along still waters. And so we continue on. It says that he restores our soul. And I think that this is ultimately what our shepherd does for us, is he restores our soul. And we have to understand that if there's restoration that needs to be done, that something's broken, right? And it goes back to realizing that we are sheep. And that I think the base level of what the shepherd does for us is restore our souls. Because, again, before we even get to the valley of the shadow of death in this passage, he's restoring our souls. Right? Before we've even gone through the hard times, he's restoring our souls. Because I think that really all you have to do to need restoration is be born. And most of us have done a little bit more than be born lately, right? And so we are all in need of the restoration of the Lord that occurs in these green pastures and beside these still waters. And I think it's important to remember this and to reflect on this, because it seems like such a simple truth, and yet it takes patience and it takes intentionality and it takes resting in God to find that restoration for our souls. And as sheep, we get impatient. We want to run out. We want to find whatever it is that sheep are looking for. I'm not really sure. Probably a good place to nap or snack or something. And yet if you are a sheep of the Lord, you are in need of restoration. And I'm sure we all feel that tonight, right? And now, why does he do this? Why does he restore our souls? Is it because we are so worthy and great? He has something big. We're going to be turn to amazing things, and truly we will be, but again, it's not about who we are. We are sheep, remember? He is shepherding sheep. He's not shepherding kings or even, I don't even know what else he would be shepherding, but he's shepherding sheep, and so he does this for his name's sake. He leads us in paths of his righteousness for his name's sake, because it's just who he is. And I think it is so refreshing to remember that the Lord shepherds us and guides us simply because of who he is. Now, maybe it feels like I've plunged into those more than is necessary. He's like, yeah, he leads us by still waters and restores our souls. That's great. And I move on to the hard stuff. But again, I think that we don't spend nearly enough time being refreshed in the green path. Because what we feel most in our lives is the valley of shadow of death, right? And we want to get right into it. We want to get right there and be like, Lord, this is the valley that I'm in. Save me from this. He's like, you're not in the valley, my friend. You're in the pasture. So sit down, eat, relax. I've got this. I'm with you. But we do have to deal with the valley, of course, because not just because David goes to it next, and we should follow the text, but because, well, it's a reality of life, right? In life, we have valleys, and in life, we go through struggles and hardships and sufferings. But what's so fun to is how little thought David gives to the valley of shadow of death. I mean, he just names it. That's it. He doesn't go on and on about it. He spends so much time describing what the Lord does when he restores us and walks with us. He just says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, fear no evil, right? We want to focus on that valley. We want to just dwell there, and we want to hash it out and think about all how awful things are. It's like we're trying to convince God how hard life is. And David just flits right past it. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. C.H. Spurgeon, in his Treasury of David, his commentary in the Psalms, says this: nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite, the shadow of a sword cannot kill, and the shadow of death cannot destroy us. Let us not, therefore, be afraid. And I cannot say it better than that, because that is the truth. Is it's not even that we find ourselves in this pit and everyone's throwing spears at us and beating us mercilessly. It's that we are in the valley of the shadow of death. Death has no power here. It is but a shadow. And if something is a shadow, it means that something else is casting the light upon it to make that shadow. And we know that that light is God. So think about the fact that no matter how big the shadow of death seems in our lives, that the sun that is casting the shadow is far bigger. And I was thinking about this on Friday. I was driving a couple of our students' father passed away. And so I was driving to meet with them in hospice. And those are the times when we think about this psalm, right? And I had just been working through this and praying through this and writing some things down. And I remember driving and thinking that I think all of life is the valley of the shadow of death for us, right? We get caught up in these specific moments where we think, like, man, nothing is going my way. I lost my job. This family member died. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. But I think it's fair to say that all of life lives under the shadow of death, right? Certainly the world around us lives with the knee bowed to this king of death. But the great thing about being a sheep to our shepherd is that we recognize that this valley we live in and call life is just a shadow. And I go back to that Spurgeon quote to remind ourselves that in the reality of, yes, this life, we live in the valley of the shadow of death. We won't fear any evil because our shepherd is with us. Our king is with us. Our God is with us. And just like Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? God is victorious, and God is with us. And even further, we all have enemies, right? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He doesn't say, if you follow Jesus, you're never going to have any enemies. In fact, I'm pretty sure Jesus said the opposite of that, right? And yet we're surprised. We're always shocked. Like, those people don't like me? That's so weird. But even when we're faced with our enemies, who is right there preparing a picnic for us? It's our shepherd. And he's sitting there and he's doling out food and blessing us in amazing ways. And we feel like when our enemies show up, we have to be like wolves and we have to stand there and growl and get our hackles going and keep the enemies at bay. Like we have to defend God. He's just saying, sit down and eat. And would you like to have some more? A little bit of something? He's preparing the picnic for us. Even more, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many times do we live our days looking over our shoulder, expecting the next foot to drop? Right? Expecting something bad to happen, but we're not being pursued by our enemies. We're being pursued by goodness and mercy. And that word mercy is, I think, probably the most common word in the Psalms, but the steadfast. And so we have this idea that God is our shepherd, and we're his sheep, and he's guiding us through. He's letting us, forcing us to rest, really, in the everyday green pastures that are all around us. Because as sheep, we're not satisfied, and so we're going to starve ourselves, not eating what's in front of us, trying to find what we think we need. And so he's going to force us to feed in those green pastures. And he's going to lead us on these paths. There's going to be times when the shadow of death feels stronger than others. And as sheep, we're going to want to run away. And when we run away, as you know, sheep do, they fall into pits or they fall into rivers and they get themselves in worse trouble than if they would have just stayed with their shepherd. Who is saying, even though it looks like you're in the valley of shadow of death, look, here's some still waters that I'm guiding you alongside of. So even when we're even enemies surround us, he's feeding us, he's nourishing us. Our cup is overflowing. And so we go back to the beginning of the psalm. And to understand the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want, is to understand that the Lord is our shepherd. He is with us. What more could we possibly need? No matter what is going on in our lives, what more do we think we could possibly need? recently this psalm took on kind of a new life for me. Last July, Lee and I got a chance to go to Iceland, and it was amazing. And we were in need of some spiritual retreat in our lives. We'd had a rough year and spent a little bit too much time recognizing the shadow and not enough time walking alongside the shepherd. And so we took some time and went to Iceland and rented a camper van and drove around the island. And when it was nighttime and we wanted to sleep, we just pulled into a campsite and slept in the back of the van. It was awesome. And I was going to show you some videos and or some pictures, and I didn't. But maybe next week I'll show you some pictures because they're just so worth looking at. But one of my favorite things about Iceland is that it is just covered with free-roaming sheep. They actually have a sign in the airport that says, free-roaming sheep since 800-whatever year Iceland was established. And the sheep are just all over the island. One of my favorite stories was we stopped at a campsite one night. It was a beautiful campsite. There's a waterfall, this big waterfall that you could walk behind, and we could see it if we looked out the front window of the van. And I remember we were tired. We had done a leg that day. We did a lot of things because we kept being like, oh, let's just do the next thing. And then we pulled in the campsite. And there's these Americans there in the campsite who were drinking and partying and being really loud and made it really hard to sleep. And so we're just laying there, and it was a hard night falling asleep. And also we were in the back of a van, so hard falling asleep. But we finally do. And I remember the next morning hearing a knock on the van. I don't think I know anyone around here who's knocking on our van. And then I hear another one from somewhere else and a little lower down, and I hear like three or four. It's like, what is going on? And so I get up and I look out the window, and there's this herd of sheep just walking by, and they'd been grazing on the green pastures that our van was parked on top of and bumping our van with their horns. So it was our sheep wake-up call. And, I guess we're awake now. And so we went on with our day. But that was just, the sheep were everywhere. And it was my favorite part. I was weird. I would always baa like a sheep whenever I saw them. And he was like, why do you care so much about the sheep? But the sheep there, they don't care. They're totally chill. You'll just drive around the island and they're just chilling, taking a nap, eating grass, hanging out on mountains. Honestly, if we believed in reincarnation, I would want to come back in the next life as an Icelandic sheep. Because I mean, it's the best. You just lay around all day and eat grass, and you're in Iceland, and you get to look at mountains all the time. And you have a sweater on all the time, so you're not cold, so it's great. But the reason that these sheep can be so chill in their existence is because they don't have any predators in Iceland. There are no predators in Iceland bigger than the Arctic fox, which is this big. And so the sheep have nothing to be afraid of all the time. Now, occasionally, a polar bear will float over on an iceberg from Greenland, but I assume that's not a daily occurrence. So largely, these sheep live with no fear. And I have to think this is sheep as they were meant to be, right? This is sheep as they were meant to be, as they can't defend themselves. And so the best possible scenario for a sheep is to be thrown on an island where there's no bad guys to get them. And I think we've lived too long in our lives as the sheep that have wolves knocking on the door, not enough time as sheep that know what it's like to have no enemies. Sheep that know what it's like to trust the world around them. And I was teaching the students this morning. We were in Luke 5 when Jesus first calls his disciples, and he fills the boat with fish, and Peter drops to his knees and says, get away from me, Lord, I'm unholy. And Jesus says, be not afraid. And are those not the best words in all of Scripture? Be not afraid. And I was thinking about that when I was thinking about this lesson as well, and thinking about the sheep in Iceland and the sheep as we recognize them. And if the Lord is our shepherd, he is telling us every day, be not afraid. Certainly he's not saying that life is easy. He's not saying we have no enemies. We see that in this psalm, that when there's enemies, he goes ahead and makes us dinner. But he's still saying, be not afraid. And so again, as we look at this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do we trust that? Have we forgotten that? Have we memorized this and it comes up really well when we're in the hospital or when we're at a friend's funeral and we think, yeah, God is good. But then we go on our daily lives in the smaller versions of the valley of shadow of death that kind of happen every day and totally forget about God. And yet he's there with us every single day saying, be not afraid, and restoring our troubled soul. And so tonight, I pray that you are refreshed. Because in my Bible at home that I spend time in the morning, just top of the psalm, I just scribbled Iceland. Because I think about the green pastures that are there. I think about just the sheer beauty. And for Leah and I, it was a necessary reminder of how big our God is. And that's what I want you to feel when we go through Psalm 23, is that next time you, it's not just, oh, that's the funeral psalm, that's the sad psalm, but this is the happiest, most joyful psalm that undergirds every song that we sing and the entirety of Scripture, is to remember that the Lord is our shepherd. We don't need anything else. We all pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. And I thank you so much for your word, that you could have left us to figure this thing out by ourselves. And like sheep, we would have probably done pretty poorly. But Father, you are our shepherd. And tonight, as we may be reminded of our sheepiness, may we feel no fear. And even though we live in the valley of the shadow of death, we know that you have conquered that death, that your sun shines on the other side. We have no fear because you are with us. Lord, you comfort us. You guide us. Your goodness and mercy goes beyond us. What could we possibly